This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The glory of Christmas.
Our annual Christmas show is tonight, and all the hard work, the blood, sweat, and tears comes down to this very moment. And like any show, there's gonna be some last-minute snafus. Like for example, my middle-aged Mary, she's been having contractions for about 16 hours. My Joseph hasn't memorized all his lines.
Amy? Mary, my dear Mary, it's been a long journey.
My wise man is convinced that the nativity set will collapse. And my shepherd can't find a lemon for his tea.
Articulatory agility as a marvelous ability, manipulating with dexterity that...
We are telling the most beautiful and important story that's ever been told about an event that changed the world.
We've lost the lamb. Mm-hmm. Quick, everyone make lamb noises! Call her back to the flock!
He knows the lamb's a dog, right?
Medical experts actually do not recommend this method for dealing with panic attacks.
But my mom recommends lavender behind the ears.
Get away from me!
I'm calling an ambulance.
I think I'll be fine.
It's for me.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Thank you guys so much for coming.
All right, places, everyone!
It's time.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem.
I have this long-held tradition, I guess you could call it. Every year during the performance, I step off the stage and leave the building. I just want God to do what God does. And the shepherds came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and
the babe lying in the manger.
Doesn't matter where you see the nativity story, whether it's on a street corner or in a church or even on your neighbor's mantle. When you see it, you have to consider it then and there. Are you willing to kneel at the manger? Will you believe in the miracle of Christmas, the glory of Christmas? Trust that this is the way that God chose to save us all.
And all who heard it wondered at those things, which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned,
glorifying and worshiping God for all the things that they have seen and heard, as it was said unto them. Amen.
Merry Christmas. We're glad that you joined us for this Christmas Eve service, and hopefully some of you have been tuning in through this Advent season as we've been watching the glory of Christmas, this group of imperfect characters retelling the Christmas story. Tonight you heard from Joel, the director, and Joel throughout this whole experience you could see was getting pretty stressed out, and there was quite the change in him towards the end of the video. This evening, as you heard and saw all the things he was experiencing through this, You could see the stress, the anxiety that he was having, but he explained that he had a tradition that on Christmas Eve, when the nativity story was being told, he would exit the stage, he would leave the building, and just wanted God to do what God does. And you could see the peace in his own heart and his own life as he just let the story, the power of the story, impact those who had gathered. You know, he went on in the video, he explained, he said, you know, no matter where you see the nativity story, whether it's on a street corner, in a church, or even in your neighbor's lawn, you have to consider it then and there. And he asked, he said, are you willing to kneel at the manger? Will you believe in the miracle of Christmas, the glory of Christmas, and trust that this is the way that God chose to save us all? You know, reflecting on the Christmas story each year reminds us of just the most incredible nature of the story, that God would send his own son into this world as a frail baby, and that same child would go on to live a perfect life and lay down his life upon the cross, and 3 days later conquer death and rise again. When we look at the Christmas story and we see the all the familiar details, it's so important that when we reflect on it, that we never lose sight of who it is that we celebrate. We remember that is the story, the Christmas story is about Jesus. He is the focus. And as you have been reflecting upon the nativity story through this season, as we've looked at the Skit Guys videos, we've been reminded that all the characters, they play their part. And it's the same thing as we read the text, that all of the characters, whether it's Mary or Joseph, the shepherds, the magi, they all play a part in telling us the story of how Jesus, the Christ, entered this world. All of the characters have one focus, and that focus is on Jesus. Think about it for a moment. Whether you have a nativity at home or whether you have someone has a nativity in their yard, when you place out the characters, Jesus is not off to the side. He's not somewhere that you have to really search for him. You can easily find where Jesus is at because he's typically placed in the center, and the eyes of all the characters are focused on Jesus. I pray that tonight, as we reflect a little bit about Jesus being the light of the world, that we would just remember that Jesus is the center of the Christmas story. He is the center of all that we celebrate this evening. And that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, it changes us. When we think about this, and we think especially in the nature of the skit that we've been watching, it's very clear that Jesus is supposed to be the star of the show. Not the shepherds, not the magi or the wise men. It's all about Jesus. The magi that we looked at, the wise men we looked at on Sunday, reminded us of the significance of Jesus and the fact that they saw his star rise and they began the search for him. That quest, looking for his star, and when the magi came, it says in Matthew 2:2, it said they came asking, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." The star of Christmas is his star. It's Jesus' star, and it led the wise men to Jesus, where they could come and bow and worship and give their gifts. The star of Christmas leads us all to Jesus. That's the point. This week, as I mentioned on this last message, when we looked at the wise men, we looked at the fact that a lot of astronomers were pointing to an event that some of us may have been able to see. Depending on where you live, on the 21st, the Christmas star, or the convergence of a couple planets, that it was supposed to give the appearance of that Christmas star that was guiding the wise men 2,000 years ago. I went out and I tried, but it was too cloudy. It was too cloudy in Warren, so it wasn't anything we could see. So I was a little disappointed with that. But, you know, as I was thinking about the fact that that convergence of Saturn and Jupiter was there, and it would have been something I could have seen if it wasn't for the cloudy sky, I thought, you know, that's a little bit of what we experience in life. Jesus, the light of the world, is there. The story is there, and it points to Jesus. And Jesus, being the light of the world, is there for all men and women to see. And yet some people struggle seeing him. In your life, I want to ask you, as you read and reflect upon the Christmas story, have you let the star of Christmas lead you to the place where you could bow and worship Jesus? Has the Christmas star led you to an experience with God where you experienced a relationship with Jesus, the one who came to save you? The theme of the star is a theme of light that we see throughout the Christmas story, and we see it again also in the shepherds, the passage that was read this evening. The shepherd's story in Luke 2, 8 through 11, you can again imagine the scene, this group of shepherds out in the quiet field of night, and they're interrupted. Verse 8, Luke 2, 8 says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Again, picture the shepherds in a quiet darkness of night. Them, the shepherds there watching their sheep. And in that moment, the angel of the Lord appears to them, and it says the glory of the Lord shone around them. That word shone literally is shine brightly. It illuminated everything that they experienced. And so even in the experience of the shepherds, the announcement of Jesus' birth began with a picture of light that interrupted the darkness. It got their attention, and so that the angel could give that most important announcement, the greatest birth announcement of all time. In verse 10, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The theme of light is all through Christmas. And it reminds us of the truth that the Apostle John expounded in John 1, verses 5 through 12. John uses a number of themes in John 1 to describe who Jesus is. He describes him as the Word, but in this later in the passage in verse 5, he also describes Jesus as being the light. And I want to look at this because it's so important that we remember that Jesus is not only the central focus of the Christmas story, but we're reminded of the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. And just as the director in the video said, we have to, when we look at the Nativity story, we have to consider it. We have to make a decision about it. These words from the Apostle John in John 1, 5 through 12 remind us that we have to make a decision about Jesus as well. When we see Jesus and we hear that Jesus is the light of the world, we have to make a choice on what to do with Jesus. John 1, 5 reads, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When we look at this passage, there are three very clear things that stand out about the truth about Jesus being the light of the world. First is that simple truth that Jesus is the light of the world. Verse 5 says, "This light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In John 1:9, it goes on to say, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." We celebrate at Christmas the fact that Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us, to be the light of the world, to be the light for all people, to point us toward heaven, to point us to a relationship with God so that we could look at Jesus and look at who he is, look at all that he was going to do for us, and we could put our faith and trust in him and believe and experience the light of Christ in our own hearts and our own lives. Jesus actually later even declared in John 8, verse 12, he said again, Jesus said, spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus, being the light of the world, offers life and offers to change us. For it says, "For whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Have you come to a place that you not only believe the truth about who Jesus is as the Son of God, but have you come to see Jesus as the light of the world to a point that you've made the decision to put your faith and trust in him? These verses go on to speak of the choice that must be made. When we consider Jesus, when we consider the Christmas story, consider Jesus as being the light of the world, we have a choice to determine in our life, will we receive him or reject him? Verses 9 through 12 in John 1 says that the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, referring to his own people, Israel. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Those verses remind us not only the central story of Christmas, but it reminds us and points us to the salvation that we can find in Jesus, the light of the world. That if we would not reject him, but choose to receive him, to embrace him, to believe in him, which is not just head knowledge, but it's putting our faith and our trust in him. That if we receive him, if we believe him, if we put our trust in him, we surrender our lives to Jesus, we are given access to a relationship with our Heavenly Father that is described as being a very child of God. It's through Jesus that we are restored to a relationship with God, our Creator. But we have a choice to make. We have to receive him. It's my prayer for each of you that are listening or watching that you've come to a place in your life that you've made the choice to receive Jesus. That you've received Jesus, the light of the world. You've put your faith in him, and you believe and you trust him. And that you've surrendered your life to him and experienced the new birth of becoming a child of God. Christmas is totally different when we've had that experience, when we've come to a point in our life where we've put our faith in him, to where we don't just celebrate Jesus being the light of the world and the Savior of the world. We come to the point of recognizing that Jesus has given us light and that he is our Savior. When we come to that place, we're reminded of what we see in these words from the Apostle John about John the Baptist. In John 1, verses 6 through 8, it's referring to John the Baptist preceding in his ministry, preceding the ministry of Jesus. He says in verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him." That all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. John's purpose in his ministry was very clear. He was not the Messiah. He was not the Savior. He was to bear witness to Jesus. He was not the light. He was to bear witness to the light. Jesus, the light of the world. In these verses, as well as all the accounts of John the Baptist, he gives us a picture of how we bear witness to Christ, that we have a responsibility to bear witness to Christ. Jesus' own words in Matthew 5:14-16 reminds us that the responsibility for all of Christ's followers to bear witness to Christ, that we carry the light of Christ to the world. Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Do you ever think about the fact that God's word tells us, one, that Jesus is the light of the world, but the Gospels also tell us that the disciples, that Christ's followers, are also the light of the world. If you think about that for a moment, it's important that we understand those things aren't contradictory. Because the reality is, when we are the light of the world, it's the very light of Jesus, the light of the world, that shines through us so that people see Jesus in us through our words, through our actions. We bear witness to Christ in how we live our lives for Jesus. This Christmas, I pray that you've come to a point in your life that you not only recognize Jesus as the center of the story of Christmas, that you would see Jesus as the light of the world. I pray that you have all come to a place where you've made the decision to receive him, to believe in him, to experience the promise of becoming a child of God. And because when we put our faith and trust in Christ, and when we trust Jesus and become his follower, we have the responsibility and the privilege of bearing witness to Christ, of carrying Jesus, the light of the world, to all people. He calls us to carry the light of the world, Jesus, into the darkness, to the people that are hurting, the people that need hope, the people that need someone to come around them and to care for them. We have the privilege of pointing people to Jesus, the light of the world. When I ask you, are you faithful in how you carry the light? In this coming year, I pray that we all would carry the light of Christ, and that we would carry the light of Christ intentionally into places that need to see the light, places of darkness where people are hurting and people are struggling. Reality is, in the world in which we live in today, we don't have to go that far. We just need to be faithful to carry the light of Christ to wherever God is calling us to go. John, in chapter 1 of John, the Gospel of John, he goes on to present a picture that is one of my favorite summaries of the Christmas story. It's not giving the details of the story, but it's giving a description of what actually took place at Christmas. In John 1:14, it says, "And the Word," being Jesus, "and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus, the Word, became flesh. Literally, the word used there is that he pitched his tent among us. He dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. We've seen the glory of Christmas. We've seen Jesus, the light of the world. And we're invited to receive him, to put our faith and trust in him, to become his child. And we're invited to go out and bear witness to Christ. You know, we recognize that this Christmas we're celebrating in ways that I'm sure most of us would prefer not to be celebrating. For many of you, the gathering together on Christmas Eve and closing this service with the lighting of Christ's candles and sharing the light of Christ with each other as we sing together, I'm sure many of you are going to miss that. And as we've planned for this service, we've been trying to think through how we can capture that. In a moment, I will be lighting my candle off of the Christ candle. We encourage you, if you're listening at home, to turn off the lights, grab some candles, and join us As we light candles to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world and that we carry his light to those around us. At Christmas Eve, when we gather and we take our candles out, and hopefully some of you at home are gathering with candles with friends, with loved ones, even if you're by yourself, you're gathering with us as you watch and as you experience this moment together. You know, the Christ candle at the center of our Advent wreath, it reminds us as we walk through Advent that every week just builds to this moment. We light each of the candles, and I always give that one final instruction to families that light the Advent wreath and say, just don't light the Christ candle until Christmas Eve. Because it reminds us of that the Advent, the looking forward of Christ's coming. And we celebrate during the Advent season not only Jesus' birth looking back, but we look forward to the day that Jesus will return for his people. But it's that center candle, that center light that reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. And so when Christmas Eve, when we gather and I usually will be the first to take the light from the Christ candle and then share that with others, it gives us a picture of what we've been talking about, that Jesus is the light of the world. And when we take the light into our own lives, we then carry that light to others. And that's what the symbolism of lighting this candle and sharing it with others, what it means to us. And so I pray that tonight, while we're gathered in a very different way, that you would just be reminded that Jesus is the light of the world and that he wants you to experience salvation through him, to experience what it means to receive him as the light of the world and to become his child, so that we can bear witness to his light and share the light of Jesus to others and to all people. We invite you to join us now as we light our candles. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the gift of Christmas, the gift of your own Son. Jesus, you are the light of the world. You give light to our lives. You change us. We receive your forgiveness. We receive the hope of eternity. And we have the privilege of walking with you. We have the privilege of knowing what it means to be God's child. We thank you, Lord, for what you do in our hearts and our lives and for, Lord, just coming to live inside of us. Lord, in this coming year, may we bear witness to your light. Jesus, you are the light of the world, and we pray that we would accept our responsibility of living in such a way that we let your light shine through us. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful in this coming year to be a faithful witness to you, to the light of Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.